We are joined in the studio by another wonderful lady, whose name is Afri. Let's give her a big round of applause.
I may clap for myself this week.
Good woman.
Yep.
Good woman.
She's
have to have a bit of self-esteem.
She's learning. That studio.
Yeah. Before she leaves the studio, Chris, she's going to be so full of self-esteem, she won't know what to do with
herself. Whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, we don't want that.
The head won't.
We don't want her having too much self-esteem.
No,
exactly.
Right, you don't.
She'd turn into one of those uppity women then,
yeah,
wouldn't she?
Yeah, I know, exactly.
You're right.
Look. I'm halfway there, to be honest.
You are. I've noticed you walk around now with your eyes not on the floor.
Sometimes.
Which is already crazy.
No, sometimes. Mostly in the morning, and then the day gets to me.
Yeah, exactly. The day gradually weighs you down.
It does.
You must be exhausted then at this point. It was 11 o'clock at night.
Absolutely wrecked.
Yeah.
I'm wrecked.
Well, look, Afric, it's wonderful to see you as always. I mean, you come in every week. We do archives with Afric, where Afric goes through the archives of RTE. Because you have to understand, I mean, RTE has been going since... When actually has RTE been going since? Like the 60s or
70s? As far as I can make out, the... Radio Éireann was 1960.
Okay.
Started
okay.
broadcasting.
So that's a long time now at this point. I mean, that's like
that's,
half a century.
That's as far back as I can go
yeah.
with clips.
Hey, look, that's enough. I mean, I'm sure anything before then isn't that interesting. So basically, when you go into the archive, 60s is where you can get to easily.
Yeah, you, okay. get, the, you get there easily.
Okay,
fair
enough.
Before that, you have to start, I don't know, going to like Dublin Castle for documents.
It's on lithographs and stuff. Yeah exactly.
Look, maybe we'll send you on a day out, yes.
Listen, yeah. I'd love it, to be honest. I'm trying to fill my weekends.
Yeah, well, look, Africa, you go into the archives, you find stuff for us, and I have to say, I would have thought that, you know, things were very prim and proper and normal back then. Afric has shown me a whole other world where there was obscenity, in not in a literal sense, but just ridiculousness being broadcast on RTE for years.
Nonsense.
Yeah, literally, nonsense. Yeah. Like, absolute nonsense.
Well,
haunted
actually,
houses on the news and stuff, like, I mean...
But you see, I don't think it was nonsense.
I know.
Kira, I think it was probably very relative to the time that the broadcast actually came
you're
from.
You're always
you know?
Very diplomatic.
And
it's a different time,
you know,
guys.
Company woman, Afric, of course. No, what I love about this is when Afric goes into the archives.
See how confusing it is. I've done it three times since she came
in. Why is her name Afric? But what I love is to see how far we've come as a society, but also kind of check the fact that maybe we haven't come as far as we all think.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
absolutely.
So, Afric, what are we going to hear first tonight? What is going on in the archives? What did you find this week?
So, it seems like to the untrained eye, it would seem like I have an unhealthy obsession with Jim Fahey.
I mean, like him. He's cool.
We
love him.
But we do love him, to be fair, because there's another report. The first one this evening is from 1981. Jim did it for the news, and it was about Mayo and how some teens, there were heavy grounds for concern in Mayo about underage drinking. Tom Higgins tells us all there in the first clip.
Oh, here we go. Teens underage drinking.
So, this is from 1981.
The first time that this came to my attention was while speaking with second level teachers, and they told me that they had noticed that recently that some of the pupils were coming to school in the morning with what they considered to be hangovers, that their attitude towards the class wasn't what it should be. I didn't quite believe this until I investigated it myself and found that this was true.
Wow, those kids are hardcore.
I love Tom. Tom did his own investigation. I investigated myself.
How did he
did
do
they
that?
Allow him into the classroom?
Yeah, I don't
did
know.
Did he breathalyze the students as they walked
I
in?
I don't
in
know. There was something untoward going on there. There was no doubt about it. But Tom was part of a group that wanted to clamp down on underage drinking, and he had been told, as you heard, by second level teachers that these children, drunk children, were showing up to class hungover. So. I wanted to know anyway, what the kids exactly were getting up to, and that was in the next clip.
I was also told that pupils were visiting bars during lunch hours, supposed to be playing pool, where in actual fact they were drinking in the bars.
Wow, those are hardcore kids, in fairness.
I love these kids, because I love the fact that it was grand that they went off at lunchtime to play pool, but it wasn't grand when they came back tanked, you know, for double geography after lunch or whatever. But they...
Like, it was a thing, like, there was a, you know, a thing when I was growing up or whatever, there was sometimes the odd person that you knew was drinking, like.
Bit of a devil.
The bit of the devil that went off in at school at lunchtime. Went away from school at lunchtime and then came back and, you know, there was some pretty suspicious smells.
When we were in fifth year, we did that. Like, not excessively. Like, as in, we'd go sometimes to pubs for, like, chips and stuff. and might have a pint or two. Like, as in, we wouldn't be arriving back locked or anything.
But like,
we
were certainly, at lunchtime,
yes,
good.
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
I was too much of a goody two-shoes, so no, I would never do that.
Like, I say this sometimes. I must have been so good, because the things that shock me now are, like, quite tame.
These kids would have been making fun of you back then.
Oh,
Alfred.
My, like, God, in, so
you,
much.
You wouldn't have hung out with these kids, I don't think.
So much. Yeah. So, they've talked to a couple of people. Father Benny McHale, of course, because why not?
You need the priest's input on everything.
Yeah, you actually
exactly,
do.
Yeah.
Like, I think
have you noticed all these news reports go to the priest?
Listen,
there's
why,
always like a soundbite from
though?
The priest.
No, why are you surprised? This is 1981 in Ireland. Yeah. Guys.
But he's like the town
Ireland.
Chief. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like you have to go get Running Water's opinion on it or whatever.
I
or
think
chief,
it was
whatever.
Actually illegal to put out a report
yeah,
that didn't
exactly.
have a priest.
It needed some priest content. So is that who we hear from next?
So Father Benny McHale is next, and he's talking about how they were planning to combat the drunk children.
Well, at the moment, Jim, we've about 9,000 students in post-primary schools, and within the next month we hope to visit each of those schools and provide them with an identity card like this, and we hope by the end of the month each student will be in possession of a card. Now we're asking the publicans, and in a publicity campaign, to honour these cards so that we hope by the end of the month every publican will be in a position to establish the exact age of any person who comes in for a drink.
I mean, some
okay,
fair
so
enough.
This was the first introduction of IDs.
The age card, basically.
The age
yeah.
card,
yeah.
basically.
Fair enough, yeah.
My problem with this was, it would have been fairly easy, I imagine, in a small town in Mayo to establish the age of the children that were coming in their school uniforms.
You'd certainly have a ballpark once they came in a school uniform, wouldn't you? You'd
have
an idea.
Ballpark.
Yeah,
yeah. Or like unless it was like the thick kid who had to like repeat his
like
leaving
four
like
times.
Eight times.
We all went to school with one of those guys who's like 21
yeah,
and
exactly.
still in his leaving
yeah,
suit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But like, so, and all, I was also thinking, like, would they not have asked for like a passport or like, do you know what I mean? Or something else? But obviously not. So this was the
yeah.
way, this was the foolproof way that they were planning to clamp down on underage drinking.
Fair enough.
And how, I wanted to know how confident, or Jim wanted to know as well, how confident they were that the pubs were going to acquiesce to these demands.
Here we go.
Well, one of our problems is there are a number of pubs in each town where we know underage drinking is taking place. And we hope with the publicity generation and the goodwill that they will be brought into the scheme and they themselves will accept our ideas, especially knowing how serious the problem of teenage drinking is. We've already had some positive response from publicans, from the majority of publicans. And the goodwill so far supports us very much in our view that these will be accepted by all the publicans.
I don't know.
I don't know.
It's very, that's
too
very
sure
ambitious
you
of you.
It's
yeah, yeah.
like the lads are going to turn down that roaring lunchtime trade. Do you know?
It was a huge trade, though. Sometimes, like, half of my school was going to pubs at lunchtime. Like, literally, there was about 40 kids going into pubs.
I went to a very, like an all-girls Catholic school from first to fifth year. And then in sixth year, I went to school in town, right, in Leeson Street in Dublin. And only then and only then, it was the first time I ever met a boy as well. Mm-hmm. So it was like then and only then was there ever an idea that you might go drinking at lunchtime.
Did you though?
No,
like,
never.
Not even like as in if you
never.
Go out and maybe have a bit of lunch at lunchtime
no,
or something.
I think I was too scared.
No
not
way.
Even a pint, and I'm not trying to be smart, not even one pint.
No, no way. Honest to God.
I just, that would even enter my head.
But that's the thing, the thought would never enter my head. Like,
well, would you ever get food at lunchtime? Like, not being funny, would you ever, like, did you bring lunches or would you get food?
Brought lunches.
Oh, fair enough. Averick?
I would, well, like, when I was in town, you'd go to, like, Centre or whatever. Oh,
I suppose,
you
go get a roll.
Well,
yeah, right.
The nearest shop was, like, a half an hour walk from
yeah,
the
I suppose
school,
so. It didn't really work, yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Exactly.
All
so,
right.
I don't think now, looking back, the old identity cards might have made much of a dent in the old lunchtime trade.
No,
but
something,
I'd be interested to hear how they panned out.
Something tells me that these publicans that were already selling pints to children in school uniforms
yeah.
were probably just going to continue to do so after the introduction of this card.
I don't think they
card.
Were going to be off-put by
yeah,
the
whoa,
small
whoa, whoa.
Plastic
where,
card.
Where's your age card? Or where's your identity card the priest said you have to have?
I got an age card when I turned 18, right? Because I was just so delighted with the fact that I was 18 and I got yeah. an age card. Never, ever, ever did anybody once in my life ever ask me to show my age card.
You never had to use it legitimately.
Never had to use my age card legitimately.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't even have one.
Do you? Neither do I. No.
Oh,
I never
as soon as like the day that I turned 18, I went into the guard the station and I was like, "I am 18. I want my age card, please." And then I had it in my wallet.
I'm a
for
productive
years.
Citizen of
yeah.
this country.
Look yeah. at me go. You know.
Oh, did you God. Expect them to be like, "Oh, Kira," when you went in? Because yeah. you would have thought they were that they knew you were going to be 18.
Yeah, I know.
And they would have been waiting.
Oh,
all right.
God, I was such a Lisa Simpson. Like,
oh
it's not
my God,
even
so
funny.
Was I.
You
yeah.
both kind of sound like it. Yeah. All right. Well, look.
Such nerds.
There we go. That yeah. is the story of the identity cards being brought in mail.
Probably didn't work out.
I doubt they worked out at all.
I don't think they worked out even a little bit. No. The second set of clips I have for you this evening is about Seventh Sons.
This is from 1970 now. Sorry to interrupt. This is way back.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so the saying goes, if you're the seventh son of a seventh son, you either have magical powers or there's something kind of special about you.
Yeah.
And it's not just seeped in Irish tradition. I think it's kind of across the
world. Oh, it's a global thing. Absolutely. Yeah.
So this is a Newsbeat report which was broadcast on the 11th of March in 1970, and they went to find out what was so special about the seventh son. And this sounds, to be honest, in this first clip, like an awful lot of pressure to put on a 3-year-old.
Well, I always heard that the seventh son was a lucky child. So when Funborough arrived and was about 3 years of age, a certain priest, a seventh son, was ordained. He blessed Funborough and he told him, when you grow up and get sense, go out into the world, cure everybody, he says, you meet. Refuse nobody. Do it, he says, for charity and for God's sake. And he says, I think it's a great act of charity to do that. Relieve human suffering.
That is a big burden, that one.
Can we just bear in mind that the child was three when
that's, that's heavy. Like, my mom talking to you like that?
A priest came in and basically told Finbar when he grew up and got some sense that to go and cure all
He was basically
world.
Jesus, is you what cure, they were talking to him like. Yeah.
Everyone. You refuse nobody.
Ooh,
yeah, no, it was
rough.
A bit grim. So, Michael Ryan was talking. Finbar, by the way, I mean, Finbar was in this clip, and Finbar is supposedly like.
Which one is Finbar?
Finbar is the guy they were talking about there, who was the
like
seventh
son. The kid?
Yeah,
okay,
the kid,
right, okay.
Right? Who was probably about, I don't know, everybody looked older in those days. It was probably about
14-ish.
Didn't they?
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, nine-year-old boys looked 30.
Yeah, exactly.
So do we get to hear from him in all of this?
No, he doesn't say a single word the entire report.
Spiritual people who are touched like that can be very quiet. You know
very
what I'm saying?
Quiet.
Yeah,
and he had a quiet haircut as well. So the next clip I have for you is, Michael Ryan explored what kind of things you might be able to look forward to curing as a seventh son.
Ringworm, cowpox, back pains, leg pains, joints creaking and twisting with age. These are the things seven sons are called upon to soothe, to breed on and to lay their hands upon. This man called in the help of a seventh son.
I just ducked ahead and he made the sign of the cross over it.
That's all you need. Yeah.
Just a shot.
And did you feel anything happening when this was going on?
Oh, no, at that time. No, nothing. No. Nothing at that time, no.
And afterwards, did it in fact work?
Oh, definitely worked, yeah. Sure.
Wow. Man, I've noticed such a theme over the last few weeks of this. It seems people, when they're faced with problems, will do anything but consult the scientific discipline to which their problem is related. As in, those people had like clearly a structural problem with their house in a few weeks ago. We're like, no, so we got the priest in. These guys obviously, so I have something wrong with me, so I've gone to a seventh son, not the GP or anything.
These lads were doing a roaring trade.
Like, God sake.
Again, but that was a time, guys, 1970, where folklore and fairies and ghouls and ghouls and all the rest were very important to the people of Ireland.
I guess so.
And all that sort of superstitious stuff. So I'm not surprised by this at all.
Yeah.
You may frown upon this seventh son of
Kira
a seventh
still
son.
Goes to like seven sons or seven sons and stuff like that. That's still Kira's thing.
I actually had a friend who had an issue with his ankle, and he went to the seventh son of a seventh son who was supposed to be a healer in Ireland.
And what the fuck is this?
Okay. And then what happened?
Your man put his hands on it and stuff like that and said, you know, that he shouldn't do certain things with it and, you know, to be careful with it.
Stay off it and get lots of rest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, I guess that's similar to what a medical practitioner might
say. You know what, though, guys? He might laugh, okay? You might laugh, but I still wouldn't mess with myself.
What is this? What is this? For what? Why?
All right, Jose, come on. We're trying to do a clip here. So, anyway, what is the next one?
So, the next bit is how to know if your seventh son is endowed with these powers. And Kathleen Bannon tells us how she found out about her son, Gabriel.
Well,
His name is Gabriel.
Oh, wow. As in the angel.
This is very
Gabriel.
Biblical. Yeah.
But one day when I went to mass, when he was about 2 weeks old, when I came home, one of the elderly boys had him for him, and he lifted across the child's hand, and it was dead. So he got another, and he done the same thing, and it died. So we never took any notice until one day a niece of mine came, and she had ringworm, And she asked if we'd let him cure it. So I said he was too small, but the little girl coaxed him out and he blew on the ringworm and it got better in a few days. So then I thought, I believed that he had it, but several other people came out of that and it was very successful. He cured them all.
What the shit is this woman talking about?
Like, I believe her.
So she said that her son Gabriel, who's six at the time.
Did she say he cured someone's ringworm?
There is,
by
yeah.
blowing on it, yes, yeah. Chris.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
So
okay.
there seems to
Look,
be...
you can cure many ailments going on. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
So there seems to be a litany of tragedy in this film.
Sorry, just with what Kira said. Okay. Alright, sorry, Eva, go
there
ahead.
There seems to be a litany of tragedy in this family because, like, your man is like killing worms in his hands. The kid is killing worms in his hands.
Yeah, is that what the woman was saying? Yeah. That when you put an animal into it, it died, basically.
A worm. Oh, yeah. Jesus. Yeah. So you put a worm in his hand and it dies. So obviously, the logical conclusion being is that you blow on ringworm, it will also die and leave you alone. I don't know where the ringworm was located or whether the child was asked if he felt okay about doing this, but you feel sorry for Gabriel in that situation.
Jesus, yeah, poor Gabriel, absolutely.
And then, so there is obviously a connection with worms and seven sons. So I would think that they all seemed a bit sickly back in 1970, and maybe if they stopped dropping worms into each other's rings, they'd start to feel a little bit better. You will hear in the final clip.
All right, here we go.
One day, he brought me down to the garden. He made two rings in the clay. He made one ring in the clay, one with his own finger. He told me to make another ring with my finger. He had two worms on a branch. He dropped one of the worms into his own ring. He dropped the other one into my ring. The worm that came into my ring crawled over the clay. The one that dropped in his own ring stopped.
Wow, that is something else.
So...
Again, Afrik, was this on the national evening news?
Yeah, wow. You're giving back license fees tonight, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, like as in that's, you know, as often as we can. This probably is kind of like reparations yeah. for some of the stuff that RTE's done over the years. Yeah. Wow,
exactly. I wonder, is there any seventh son of seventh son left out there though?
You'd love one to come
There's
in.
There's much smaller
you?
Families now, do you know what I mean? Yeah, like well, seven sons true. And seven
that
sons are
true.
Not as common anymore.
And your one at the start as well said that she was on her seventh pregnancy or whatever it was, and she said that loads of people were praying that it was a girl.
Why?
And she
because
well,
she'd had six boys.
Because she'd had six boys. Oh. And she and I
Chris, look, why would you want a girl?
Yeah, why would you be doing that exactly?
That's
yeah.
gross.
That yeah. was the tone he said it.
Sorry, why? Yeah. He said, sorry, go on. And then what happened?
That she said, no, absolutely not. She had no interest in a girl.
Yeah,
whatsoever.
Good woman. That's my girl.
That she well, wanted, the seventh,
she wanted the seventh son.
Afrik, why didn't she include that clip?
Because,
for God's sake.
Look, we've limited time right. and a lot of content. Here,
look,
okay?
Afrik, we certainly do. There's literally several decades of content, and every week you come in and you show us some of the most obscene, some of the most ridiculous stuff that has been broadcast on RTE over the years. And there you go, a seventh son of a seventh son curing ringworm this evening. Afrik, your Twitter is at a complete weapon. At a complete weapon. Everybody should go online, should give you a follow. You're also on RTE Pulse every Wednesday with a show called The Drop. Kira, I'm trying to big up Afrik.
I know, and before we leave here though, I would like for the two of you to consider maybe opening up your minds a little bit more and maybe accepting the fact that Seven Sons could have magical powers.
Definitely, Kira, you know what? That's a very logical statement you just made. I will consider it. Afrik, will you consider that Seven Sons might have magical powers?
If one of you can find someone to blow on my ringworm,
yay!
I am.
Yeah. All right, look. It's all very inappropriate.